Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 28th. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today. Joining us are Dr. Susan Ciculli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga, and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. You got a question about your dog or your cat or whatever? Give us a call. 800-348-2551. Not really, whatever. Dogs and cats, mainly. I don't think they do aardvarks and things like that. Well, you could ask. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets, Dr. Ciculli, Dr. Dallas, and your questions coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Pets and Vets today, and here to take your calls, Dr. Susan Ciculli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga, and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Ciculli is a vet who has been specializing in feline care for more than 20 years. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach with an emphasis on Chinese medicine. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. If you have a question about your doggy or your kitty, voxpop@wamc.org. Or 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas, I understand you have a little frog in your throat.
I do today. If I start coughing in the middle of responses, I apologize ahead of time.
Wouldn't be the first time that's happened.
It would not
on the
be.
Show,
and so, I've made generous use of this mute button before. I think it's going to be.
I don't recall you having coughing fits, but we've had those situations.
I have, definitely.
All right, so there's a cough button there. And if you really have to leave and go and get a drink of water, you go right ahead.
All right.
Worry about us.
Thank you.
Dr. Susan Ciculli, how's your health?
I'm feeling great.
Really?
Thank you.
No coughs?
No, knock on wood.
Everything's good.
All right.
Do you ever catch anything from pets?
Ringworm.
You caught ringworm from pets?
I did. It was when I was during my internship. So I wasn't sleeping much. I was working 100 hours a week. And somebody must have brought it in. And it went generalized. I actually had to take oral antifungals. It wasn't like a little spot.
Oh, so when you have ringworm, you see it in your...
Yeah, it's on your skin. Yeah, it's a...
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it was weird because I've never thought of myself as particularly susceptible to stuff like that. So yeah, we can catch Giardia from our pets.
What's Giardia?
It's a gastrointestinal parasite.
Oh, interesting.
We can catch lepto.
Beaver fever.
Yeah.
Is Giardia.
Oh, that's right. I just learned that last week. I never had heard that before.
Beaver.
Yeah.
Beaver.
It was called
camping.
Beaver. Yeah, I never heard that.
Dilemma.
Oh, yeah. Lots of zoonotic diseases. And we can give things to our pets as well.
My cat has been sneezing the last day or so. Is that normal? Or
allergies?
Yeah.
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Will cats get the pollen allergies?
Yes, definitely.
Yep. Oh, for Pete's sake. Really. It's just another thing to deal with.
I know.
Anything on your minds before we get to the calls, et cetera?
I had something, but it's gone.
Really?
If I don't write things down, it's just—it's like it never happened.
So with you on that. All right, let's just go right to the phones then.
All right.
John is in Albany. John, you're on.
Thank you, doctors. We got this little female beagle. She's about 4, going on 5. We got her when she was a year, 2 months old. She was a rescue, came from South Carolina. Belonged to a lady who was getting divorced, was pregnant, and had a baby. And anyhow, she is a sweetheart to us, you know, and she loves kids, is okay with women, other dogs, but she has an absolute fear of men. So, and actually, if you have guests staying over, they'll get used to the men. She'll get used to the men maybe after 5 to 10 days.
Mm.
And we were just wondering if there's anything we can do to alleviate that.
Yeah, and you don't want guests staying over 5 or 10 days. All right, what do you think, Docs?
Well, is she afraid of you, too, or is she okay with you?
Excuse me, what?
Is she afraid of you as well?
No, she loves me.
Okay. I mean, that might be worth working with a trainer to get her desensitized. If she's food motivated, an easy thing to do on your own is just to have men come over and give her treats that she loves, like really high value treats. But that's really just a quick course in desensitization. She might need something a little slower, and you would need to work.
Something more than that.
Okay. Then I would work with a trainer and have them assess it and see if they can give you a plan to work on at home.
Okay.
I bet you can get somewhere with her.
Would this be something where you would take it to a trainer? The dog to a trainer?
Yeah, or the trainers sometimes will come to your house. And it just depends on what they specialize in, but that feels like a fixable situation.
Yeah,
you think so?
I do. Yep.
So there's still hope, John.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So my problem is actually finding trainers in my area. I live in the Rhinebeck area.
Okay. Yeah. That I don't know people down there in particular, but
maybe a listener.
Yeah, might
someone.
Have a suggestion.
There you go.
That's a really good point. All right. Hey, John, well, thanks a lot. Call. Good luck. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. It's Dr. Susan Ciculli, Dr. Chris Dallas, who at 2:14 has not coughed yet, although the over-under is 3 more minutes, so we'll see what happens. Sherry's in Tinmouth, Vermont. Sherry, you're on.
Hi. I have a cat. She's about 9 months old. We got her from a rescue group. When she was born, her mother died, so they had to tube feed her and bottle feed her. And she chews on everything. We've had to throw several beds away because she chews on them. I've given her a wool bed. She chewed on that. I gave her polar fleece. She chews on that. So what suggestions do you have?
Does she ingest them? Or
she sucks on them.
Sucks on them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is she wool
she
sucking?
Does, I mean, she chews holes, so she must be ingesting some of the material.
Yeah, but it sounds like sort of that wool sucking. They have that ability because they were never, you know, been able to nurse consistently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That they're challenged by
so
that.
So wean too soon, basically.
Weaning too soon, yeah.
Okay, so what do you do?
I don't know.
I don't know that whole thing.
Wow.
You got to stump us here. I would go back to the one colostrum supplement that we use, Zilkine. It's a sort of a calming one, and it's natural. It may be worthwhile, and then maybe finding things that she can safely suck on, or you know,
what can she should safely suck on?
It's got to be something edible.
Yeah,
right? I guess wool.
We bought her chew toys, and she's like a dog. They're destroyed.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, she's even destroying those. Wow.
Mercy.
Get her a Kong treat.
Yeah.
Dogs who destroy toys all get Kongs, which are like the indestructible thing, but I doubt she would enjoy that very much.
How about rawhide? I mean, could she chew on that?
Would
without
that break teeth?
No.
Probably not.
Really?
Something, they kind of soften.
Have you tried that?
No. I didn't know what to try.
Yeah.
I would try a little bit of rawhide.
Yeah.
I think that might work. Or those like pig ears kind of things that they're just
durable.
They'll take her a long time to get through.
Oh, that's so. I've not heard of that before. And you know, from a Chinese perspective, Chinese medical perspective, I guess I would treat that almost like a almost like an OCD behavior. And there's a Chinese herbal formula that I sometimes use for OCD. But
cats have OCD.
Not necessarily. I can't say that I go around diagnosing that in cats ever, but dogs, yes. I've definitely diagnosed OCD in dogs, but less so in cats. Although sometimes I wonder about some of the over-grooming, if that's an OCD, if it becomes OCD, it has maybe an underlying medical. Yeah. But, and this may be the same case where it has this underlying issue, but now it's become like a behavior in and of itself.
Yes.
I would try I like the rawhide idea. At least give her something that's good for her.
Something.
Where do you get rawhide?
Pet stores.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the dog ones. And then I really would try to spray everything that you don't want her to.
Right.
Okay. Know. All right. Sherry, is that all right for you?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Vox Pop. It's Pets and Vets. Susan Ciculli, Chris Dallas, at you, and we'll be back. Hey, the lockbox is open. You can make your pledge anytime, 24/7 at WAMC.org. We had a tremendous morning, and we're well over 400 grand in the lockbox. Fund drive begins Monday at 6 a.m. And, you know, some people don't like it that much, but some masochists out there really do like it a lot. So anyway, we fundraise all day long. Everything we raise in the lockbox and the little breaks we do counts on minute one. So WAMC.org, make your pledge now. There's never a minimum. I got to tell you, Susan Sekulli, you just unloaded this on me, and this is amazing. Okay, so it was my birthday was earlier in the month.
Who knew? I did not know that.
A couple weeks
Happy
ago.
Happy birthday.
And you got me this New York Mets shirt with the Grateful Dead, the dancing bear
dancing
on there.
Bear.
That is so awesome.
And your boyfriend is a Mets fan, too?
Oh, yes. Big
and
Grateful
Deadhead
Dead.
Deadhead, too?
Oh,
mercy.
Yes.
This is so nice. Thank you very much.
You'll have to come up to Putnam welcome. Place on Friday and watch The Wheel, and you can wear your new shirt. And The Wheel is a local kind of Grateful Dead cover band. They're wonderful.
Are they good?
Oh, they're so good. Yeah. So I got my tickets.
Where's Putnam Place?
It's downtown Saratoga. I'll be there.
You know, I don't get out too much.
I know. I don't either. Only for them.
It's been about 40 years since I've been to Saratoga to have drinks. All right. This email is from Chris in Cornwall. Does the kitty food formulated to control dander and shedding actually work? And is it safe for cats on a long-term basis? I've never heard of this.
I don't know which one that would be.
I don't either.
What, has it got vitamin E in there or something? Or
fish oil, maybe.
Fish
I would just use a fish oil, personally.
Yeah.
But,
and how would you administer that to a kitty?
You could put a liquid on their food. It tastes fishy sometimes, and they, I mean, some cats probably don't
it. But I will also use coconut oil, too.
Oh, yeah? Does that work for them?
Yeah, cats seem to tolerate that pretty well, and I think it helps with their hair coat.
Nice.
Speaking of cat food. I found this cat food yesterday. I had to go to the grocery store for a couple of things. And, you know, my cat loves catnip. I'm sure all cats do. We got this Blue Q catnip thing that the cat has gone crazy over for like a solid year. So I found this cat food. It was cheap meat, whatever. I don't know the brand. It had this, that, cheese.
And catnip?
Catnip.
No
in
way.
In it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Is that okay?
I've never heard that.
Mitchell did not like it that much.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he was rolling his face in the
really
food.
They don't really ingest it, right?
Right.
They chew on it more. And maybe.
I have a cat who seems to ingest it.
Really?
Do they? Okay.
One of them. He's just
they
a little.
Roll
he ingests
in
everything.
It, they,
yeah, they roll right. in. I was wondering if he rolled over in his
in
bowl.
In the food? Oh, that would have been a terrible consequence. Yeah, well, hopefully not that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the cat's very finicky, you know. We try.
Yes.
You know, there's the school of thought that you should mix up the different meats for the cat.
Yeah.
And then there's the other school of thought. If you give too many options to the cat, the cat gets super finicky.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that.
Yep.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Susan Sekulli and Dr. Chris Dallas join us for this edition of Pets and Vets. Let's go to Boston Spa. Annette, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I have an older cat who I suspect has dry eye. It sort of sets on quickly and goes away almost as fast as it comes on. And I just wondered if the doctors had any thoughts or suggestions.
What makes you think it's dry eye? What symptoms?
So it will start to tear up, and it gets a little squinty, like it's uncomfortable for him.
Okay.
He doesn't seem like he doesn't wash it when that happens. It doesn't seem like it bothers him a lot, but it's clearly an issue with it. And I've thought about taking him to my vet, but I asked a friend of mine who's a retired vet if he had any thoughts on it. And he said, you know, he said, dogs get dry eyes. He said it could be dry eye. And I said, well, that might explain, because I have dry eye, how quickly it goes away. I mean, it's like I would never get him to the vet while it's happening.
It's like the tooth, right? It's you go to the dentist, nope, tooth doesn't hurt anymore.
Exactly.
How old is
exactly
he?
It. Well, he's probably 13 now, but he's had this maybe the last 3 years or
okay.
so.
Okay.
So for me, eye issues in cats are either allergies, We sometimes think they get dry eye, but definitely not as much as dogs do. And I think I have mentioned this on here that now they think herpes infections, which we very much commonly see in cats, can have a dry eye component to it. So we are actually recommending a couple of hyaluronic acid lubricants that are good ocular ones, and it's really been helpful. So I think I try to treat that way and not worry about catching it in the certain times.
But how do you put a dropper of whatever that stuff was?
It's an eye drop, so it's not
really
as ointment. But the cats
sit still for it.
Well,
depends on the cat.
You hold their head up and come from behind.
It's like a Clockwork Orange. It's terrible. Yes. All right. Good luck with that, Annette. You want to follow up?
I just have one quick follow-up question, though. Would it be only one eye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times.
Sort of what puzzles me.
A lot of times.
In fact,
it is just
usually one
eye.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what. And then it chronically happens. The first time you think it's they injured the eye, mm-hmm. and then every year, so often. Yep.
Yep.
Well, do report back if you're able to secure your cat in position and put some eye drops in there. Good luck. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Victoria in Lee, Massachusetts. Victoria, you're on the Pets and Vets Vox Pop.
Okay, I'm driving.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I've adopted three cats at different times, all sad stories. The one I want to ask about is I think he's almost 14 now. I adopted him a little over maybe a year and a half ago. His owner passed away. He was left in an apartment for 2 months where somebody came and fed him every other day. So when I got him, he was just a traumatized, overweight, you know, piece of fluff. And I've never had a long-haired cat. I've had cats all my life, but refused to have long-haired cats. Now I've got two. Anyway, he's got all kinds of mats in his back. I try to brush him. He lets me brush the part that's not matted, but it hurts him when I try the other part. Should I actually seek out a cat groomer and have him shaved?
Absolutely.
Down, it's all around his hind legs and butt.
Yes, please. Really? I really feel like people don't recognize how sensitive they get when they have that much matting of their fur,
because
they don't really exhibit any problems. But you're like, well, if your hair was like all tight like that, it's got to bother them. So please do that. Yep. In fact, we get a lot of grooming that we do because we can sedate them, especially when we get really older cats that don't do a lot of grooming. And we have to be very careful.
Okay, so
definitely do that.
I just need to know where you are.
Oh, well, you know, we can't do that sort of business on here, but Dr. Sekouli's in Saratoga and Gilderland. It's called Just Cats, and you can find the link on our webpage. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that's it.
I'll leave it. I'll drive.
All right.
I'll go anywhere.
Appreciate it very much. So is that something, shaving a cat is not something one should do on one's own?
It depends. I mean, a couple of mats here and there, just no scissors. Like,
yes.
I tell people never, ever pull out scissors for a cat mat or dog, for that matter. So have those little clippers that, you know, you use to, like, shave a beard or something.
The electric clippers.
Electric
clippers,
really inexpensive now, and you can just pick them up.
Exactly. And sometimes you'll still nick them a little bit, but not like a scissor cut.
And can you do your own sort of homespun sedation for the animal? Is there something that would relax the cat?
We were
vodka?
Just talking
no,
about
just kidding.
Vodka.
<I'm> kidding.
Nice.
Kidding.
Thank you, doctor.
And it's not
don't
cat.
Do that. Don't,
no,
do,
don't
that.
Do
ever
that.
Do that.
Do
it's
not
a joke.
Do that. That's
and it's
not Chinese
catnip
medicine.
Either.
No, right.
Catnip
right.
doesn't mellow them.
Okay.
Yeah. No, gabapentin.
Gabapentin.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Of course.
We use it a lot. A lot of clients can then trim their cat's nails because now the cat's a little sedated on the gaba.
All right. By the way, we were talking about giving cats eye drops, which I'm frankly skeptical about. Cecilia writes in, I'm wondering about ways to give cats pills. My cat needs to take anti-seizure meds 3 times a day. She hasn't taken to the pill pockets and seems to be getting tired of the Brie cheese I've been using. Any suggestions?
Maybe.
And that's from Cecilia.
Transdermal, if it's available. But
if it's available. Yeah. You know, those pillars, they are very small. They look like a little, I don't know, pencil within a pencil. right? And you put the pill at the tip of it, you open the cat's mouth, and you pop down. Now, the best part about a cat is you will not get it down the wrong windpipe. So if you get it far back in there, it's going down the esophagus.
Really?
Absolutely. So pop it down there and then go, sorry, honey, and let them get away.
oh, boy. Okay, let's go to Greenfield. Dan, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've got a 6.5.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Dan, we've lost you.
Oh, no.
Okay, you're in a bad spot.
Hello?
There.
But
yeah, maybe turn 40. Are you on a cell phone, man? Yeah, just
can you hear me okay?
Just turn like 35 to 45 degrees, and maybe your signal will be a wee bit better. Yeah, you're all right. Go ahead.
How's that?
Yep.
Okay, so my dog is 6.5. He had a torn ACL about 3 years ago, and we did a very expensive surgery, and it was a very long recovery. Recently, the other hind leg had a less severe ACL, and my vet did cold laser therapy, a series of treatments that seemed to work pretty well for him. What I'm wondering is, what about these, like, I can get a unit on, you know, Amazon for like $200, $300. It's nothing like what the vet has, I'm sure. But can you speak to the efficacy of, you know, those units that are available to us poor people?
I actually, you know, I can't speak to whether or not those work well or not. But there is something that is available that I can speak to, which works very well for acute and chronic pain, and that's pulse magnetic therapy.
Really?
And that's something you can find. My favorite one is called the Respond Mat, and you can actually rent one for a few months to make sure your dog likes it. And it's actually, if you get the extra large mat, you can use it yourself. And it has a large magnet in there that pulses at various rates depending on whether you set it at low, medium, or high. And what I like about PEMF is there's research that shows that it has the same efficacy as non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs.
Really?
Yeah. And
on
people
too?
I don't know. This is veterinary research. Good question.
Okay. Because I would, of course, use it on my own arthritic knees.
I know. I'm waiting for myself to, like, I've used it when I had acute sciatica, but that pain was like a 12 out of 10, so it didn't touch it. But so I would recommend looking into that. That's the one I'm familiar with. It's not gimmicky. There's science behind it. And
can you say that one again?
So yeah, it's the Respond.
Can you say that again?
Yep, the Respond Systems. There's a BioPulse mat is my favorite because it's affordable.
Huh.
But you can rent it first to make sure that it works. First of all, I think they let you rent it for 3 months at a reasonable rate. And I think the cost of that's maybe $800 to purchase altogether.
Okay.
So it's a nice option for non-pharmaceutical pain management. And also I would consider maybe doing some rehab. We have a couple of places locally that do rehabilitation, and that can just help strengthen the soft tissues around the knee so that, you know, your dog's got stabilization there.
Fascinating.
Oh, and I think we lost him.
Yeah, we did lose him, but hopefully
he could hear it on
the radio.
Yep.
That's so interesting,
yeah, that
though, this pulse electron.
Yeah, pulse magnetic therapy.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah, it's really great therapy. And some dogs just will not tolerate it. And I've used it in cats, too, by the way. Some dogs just, I don't know what they feel, if they're sensitive to it. They don't like the sensation. That's why I tell people not to buy one off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been able to predict who's going to like it and who isn't. Because sometimes I assume my more sensitive patients won't like it. They love it. Yeah, and then the other ones don't. So you really have to just try it.
How do you know if it really works, though, with an animal that can't speak?
Some of them will ask for it. It's amazing.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
But in this case, I would just expect the dog to be less lame. I would expect like an objective outcome. But it is neat when they go over and they scratch at it and they bark.
That's so cool.
I know. It is. It's really neat.
It's Pets and Vets today. Dr. Susan Sekuli from Just Cats and Dr. Chris Dallas from Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Medicine. Okay, let's see. We'll go now to Sandgate, Vermont, and our friend Chris. Chris, you're on.
Hi. Thank you all. We are moving from Sandgate, and our two little kitties are outdoor and indoor kitties, box trained, but to where we move, they will no longer be outdoor kitties.
Uh-huh.
And how do you kind of make that transition? And The boy, Jim Bob, is very bad in the carrier. He's a major drooler.
Aww.
And so I think I'll prescribe Zubrovka vodka for both of them.
No.
Ah, boy.
Oh, boy.
How do you make that transition?
Wow.
Make every effort to make it look like the outside inside, you know, with vertical cat trees. And they have some neat little catios that are out there now that, you know, especially going into the summer, is there an option of like a fenced in or an area that you could
We're hoping for some sort of balcony that we can, cover. And so they can still breathe.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they do adjust, though. I am amazed at, I used to be like, oh, how did they do that? I have a cat in my own house now that was a stray wild kitty.
Yeah.
And she makes no effort to go out.
Really?
Now.
Yeah.
She thinks she's like won the lottery.
Yeah, well, probably did. You know, it occurs to me, Chris, that if you name a cat Jim Bob, it's inevitable there's going to be drooling problems. It's inevitable.
And a desire. That's really funny.
Yeah. They were feral too, a brother and sister, and they've taken very well to the indoors.
Right? But, they'll be fine. And good luck with the move.
Okay, so just something for them to keep them from getting bored.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. It's called environmental enrichment.
That's right.
All right, man. Good luck with the move. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 if you want to call in here on Pets and Vets. Let's go to Connie in Albany. Hello, Connie in Albany.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Great, thanks for taking my call. You know, I have this long hair feral, and he came in a pair. He's got a brother, but his brother's short hair. But he's a troublemaker because every spring he gets all kinds of mats in his hair. And I know you just had the conversation about matted hair, and that's great. I took all of that stuff to heart, but I also need to try to get him into a carrier. And I also wanted to know if there's anything I can do in advance before summer. It seems like he gets matted in summer. And before summer comes, I was brushing him every day, and it was great. And then all of a sudden, he got all these mats in his hair. Is there anything I can do to, you know, fend that off and to keep it from happening so I don't have to try to put him in a carrier next year?
Is he on dry food or canned food?
Both.
I try to eliminate the dry food for next year. You're not going to change this year, but I've had some good success with switching them to an all-canned diet. Yeah. They
For matting of hair?
Yeah, they tend to have a little more
oils. He'll love that.
Yep, it's worth a try for next year. But you're right, you're
that
not going to change it. That the cat or the hair blows out or whatever when they lose their winter coat. And you're right, it's there.
Ooh, that's good to know.
Okay. Yeah.
So the daily brushing really doesn't make a difference because once the winter coat goes away, then they get they get all matted.
It does, and there's like that time period that all of a sudden you can be brushing, and it still mats right up. So
okay.
Worth a try.
No, it's a tremendous. This information is a tremendous relief because I was having all kinds of Catholic guilt over it. Now I don't have to do that anymore.
All right.
That's right.
Connie, thank you very much. 800-348-2551. That's the number. You know, it occurs to me that, you know, when my daughters have hair issues, they put conditioner on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you put conditioner on cat fur? Some not human,
The tangle, whatever.
Yeah.
Tears tangle.
They don't make that for cats?
They really make it that, because anytime you get it wet, it actually mats worse.
It makes it worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So
that's not one of my better ideas? Okay.
It's better than the vodka idea.
Well, that's on you, doctor. All right,
let's
take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. Pets and Vets, and we'll do the home stretch. First, a little Jeff Beck and some underwriting, and then back. Jeff Beck did that song, of course, A Day in the Life by the Beatles, did it several times. That was from a recording that George Martin, the old Beatles producer, made toward the end of his career called In My Life, and it had some big stars doing Beatles songs, and that was tremendous guitar work there from Mr. Beck. It's Vox Pop, not a music show at all. 800-348-2551. And we're joined by Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Ciculli on this edition of Pets and Vets. You two have been on a lot.
I know. It's been a busy year.
It's your show. Joanne writes in from Westmere, my Sydney, 8-year-old Tuxie, is not fond of catnip. Any good alternatives?
After that conversation,
yeah.
Right? And that's true because you said, oh, every cat likes to.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah. Really.
So what do you think? If you say
know.
Vodka, you're off the
show. I know.
That's it.
Never again.
The cat grass, maybe? The oats?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
right.
they like that.
What's
well,
wheatgrass?
Wheatgrass, I think it's called, right?
Isn't it
wheatgrass?
Wheat or oat grass?
I think it's wheatgrass, yeah.
They sell it in little dishes in the pet stores, and cats can eat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that
then
might
vomit.
Work.
But it's not like a psychoactive.
It's not. So they're not going to have a real good time.
No.
You know, speaking of cats eating grass and vomiting, why do they do that?
It's called the natural cathartic, I think. So out in the wild, if they had parasites, they would eat the grass and force themselves to vomit it up.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, sounds right. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm only partially sorry I asked. Let's go to Clifford in Kingston. Clifford, you're on. Clifford, how you doing, buddy? Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hello.
Sure. Hello.
Hello.
Howdy. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
You know, about the same. How are you?
I could be better.
I'm sorry, buddy. What's up?
Well, my dog has developed a tumor, and she's right now she's at the vet. She's her name is Chica Loca.
Crazy
and
girl.
Anybody loves the name. And she turned 16 like 2 weeks ago.
Aww.
I've had her ever since she was a puppy.
Okay.
And the vet bill comes over $1,500. Just put it down.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'm sorry
about this, but what is your question, sir?
My question is about the vet bills. Why do they have to be as high as the regular doctor bills?
Fair enough. All right, Clifford, go ahead, doctors, if you'd like to. I'm sorry that we generally don't take topics like this as we, you know, these are pet health questions, but you can answer this. Go ahead.
This one for sure. I mean, unfortunately, the cost of running vet hospitals has skyrocketed along with human medical costs. They're not as high as human medical facilities, but I was actually just talking to a colleague today who covers health care insurance for her employees. And this is a small clinic, and her bill alone is, you know, close to $20,000 a month. Mm. So I can promise you no one's getting wealthy, but the cost of running these practices and just trying to keep them in the black is actually very difficult. I'm sure you can attest to that. You have
absolutely.
A pretty good practice. So. Yeah. And the cost of education, I mean, these kids are coming out of school with $400,000 and $500,000 of debt at high interest rates, and they can't buy even a home or a car. So it is, unfortunately, nobody's
overpaid.
It's a systemic issue, absolutely.
And to compare it on the human side, we don't see those bills, right, other than the insurance bill gets paid.
Yeah.
If you were to look at, you know, working up a case and, you know, yes, you're having to deal with a lot right now, so I know I'm sorry for your loss at this point because I'm assuming you're going to be making some tough decisions.
Yeah.
But to get to that point, you do have to do the testing to give you that peace of mind that you're making the right decision.
Yeah.
So thank you for asking about it. It is a common controversial question we hear, and, you know, Chris's comment was accurate. We are not one of us veterinarians go into this profession to be the person that's going to make a ton of money.
Wait, that stretch limo out front wasn't you guys? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there you go. Thanks for that one. I appreciate it, Clifford. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And let's go to Newburgh. Hello, Michael. You're on.
Good afternoon. Just have a question. We had two dogs. One passed away a couple days ago.
Oh, sorry.
The second dog, the younger of the two, thank you. The younger of the two, we rescued him. He had a tough time down in the South. I'm sure he was abused and he's very skittish, but he very, very heavily bonded to the older dog that passed away. So my question is, what can we do for him to get him in? I mean, he runs around the house looking for the other dog. Just trying to figure out what to do for him.
I think just be with him. I don't think there's much you can do. And honestly, he'll probably move through this faster than you will. It might take a little bit of time, but I think just be together, go for walks, be outside together, and he'll learn a new pattern, as will you. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but it's definitely harder on us than it is on them. I'm sorry. That's a tough transition time for sure for everybody involved.
Yeah.
Michael?
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just we'll do the best we can.
Yeah, spend special time with him. Maybe teach him some new skills that he doesn't know because you had two dogs and you were busy, and now you've got some one-on-one time with him. And so, just give it to him.
All right. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Nancy is in Steventown. Hello, Nancy. You're on.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I have an 18-year-old cat. He's generally in good health. He is on thyroid medicine. The issue, and he's an outdoor cat. He weighs about 10 pounds. The issue is in recent months, he's doing this howling or screechy kind of meow pre-dawn. And sometimes, he has a screechy meow, but this is like wakes us up and on occasion wakes our neighbor up.
Oh, boy.
And, but wow. Normally you'd pet him. He's social. But this has started maybe 4 or 5 months ago where, almost it's still dark sometimes when this happens. And the vet did say that maybe it was a little dementia. Mm-hmm. There may be some sensory loss, even though he's an outdoor cat and he always manages to find his way home and we see him hunting. Mm-hmm. So they suggested gabapentin, which I tried, very difficult to get a pill in him. Mm-hmm. So I got the liquid and I've been giving him 50 at night, but we still hear him. Maybe not as early, maybe not as loud, but it's still happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are tough ones to determine. Just check his blood pressure. Would be the
one
thing.
Yeah.
Cause sometimes hyperthyroid cats will have starting to have increased, blood pressure, hypertension.
Yeah. And that yowling is actually the main
symptom. Well, he's been to the vet,
see if they checked the blood pressure and ask them do that next time.
And that would happen early morning, pre-dawn?
At just any time in the evenings. That would, for some reason,
that's
a
weird
time.
Yeah, it's an overnight symptom.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough one, though. Early mornings. I'm trying to think about the Chinese circadian clock, and most of my cats and dogs who are awake at night are actually earlier. It's more like 11 to 2. It doesn't even fit the Chinese circadian clock. So
I think
blood pressure would be my first.
And is he hungry?
Okay.
Is he being fed when?
Well, I'm leaving food out for him at night.
Great.
Mostly wet food, and can get eaten, and he could be hungry, but we're trying to accommodate that.
Yeah.
I wondered about the gabapentin, what the half life or how long that is in his system.
We go every 8 to 12 hours, so we could you could increase that. There's some newer powders out, so keep looking for them. Powder. It's a chicken-flavored gabapentin powder. So ask for that.
Yeah.
You can mix it
in
the food.
That's what the liquid is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We're doing the liquid. Okay.
Excellent.
Well.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It is. You're not alone in this. We hear it quite often.
Absolutely, Nancy. Thanks a lot. Our cat will yowl, but only when he's losing it a little bit. And so he likes to go upstairs to our room. And I think he sometimes forgets where we are, and he'll yowl until we say, come on up, and then he comes right on up.
Aww,
yeah. Let's go to Pat and Oneonta. Pat, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a dog and a cat. Found this cat 3 years ago in a hole in the ground in my yard. This cat has been at home with me since she was 10 days old and hasn't gone out. My dog died in October. Cat went kind of nuts and took over the house, but also was running around, seemed, you know, just distressed and bored and all that. So, of course, I added fat to the fire and got another cat. So I have a friend who rescued
cat. Should have got another dog.
I have a lovely cat for you. I probably should have gotten another dog. But, you know, dogs are so much more work than cats. And I thought, you know what, let me just kind of, let's just see how this works. And she needed a home because she rescues cats. She said, I have a very mellow, lovely cat.
Oh,
she just had kittens. We had her spayed, all the good shots. I need to get her out of the chicken coop I'm keeping her in. So in January, I take in this lovely young cat. And, of course, the other one hates her guts, not even sight unseen, just, like, totally hates her, the idea of her, the smell of her, everything about her. So after letting them, trying to duke it out in the basement, I have a four-story house, you know, attic, basement, all accessible, and not a lot of doors, which is a problem. So I finally got her out of the basement, the new cat, Katie. So there's Lizzie, the maniac, and Katie, the young, lovely cuddly cat. And I put her in the alcove
here.
Off my I'm feeling it because one of them, I think, if I have to choose, don't make me.
Oh, ouch.
The second one is a cuddly baby, and the other one is just scratching me and giving me what for whatever.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
Letting this cat in the house, whatever, but giving a lot of attitude. So I did something interesting. I was repairing some screens, so I have some animal proof screen. So I made a curtain over an alcove so that they can see each other through an animal-proof netting.
Hmm.
And then I started to remove obstacles so they could see each other. There was nowhere they could – well, there are places for the little cat to go under. There's a daybed in this little alcove. There's a TV. And I hang out there at night, and I make a point of going in and hanging out with this cat inside this enclosure.
With the cuddly
while the
one.
Other cat – smolders outside with the cuddly one.
Smolders.
The other one is smoldering on the other side of the room. Doesn't want to join us. Pissy as hell. And when I come out, scratches me, gives me a hard attitude, you know,
nice.
Makes me turn on the faucet. You know, she's a big one for the faucet. So, you know, there's just a lot of attitude going on. But I thought, well, I'm going to have to stop this sooner or later. So I took the screen halfway down. So half of this opening, 5 feet across, and, you know, it's not a very big space. It's like 6 feet by 8 feet. And the pissy cat is, pardon my language,
nice.
Is
Thank you.
Still on the side with the screen, but looking through and carrying on, but will not go around the screen into the space. But when she does, she kind of attacks the other cat then runs back out of the space. And I thought, should I take the full screen down and let them work this thing out, traumatic as it is for all of us, or is there something I should be doing to this?
How long has the new cat been in your house again?
Since late January.
January.
A long time, it feels like.
That's
and, you know, she's comfortable. She's pretty happy. She eats. She lives under the bed. She's got toys. She's got a little, you know, hidey home. Her box is under there. She seems pretty okay, except that she has lunatic, you know, living the rest of the house,
right.
Showing up once in a while. So the question is, should I, you know, put like those pheromone things out? Should I
feel away? Yeah.
I don't know. What do you do with a cat that just won't accept reality or whatever? The newcomer.
That's a good one.
I'll let Sue answer that one. I have my thought on it, but I'd like to
my
hear
thought is probably let them have their own space. I have seen too many issues come on when
that
you
will
try
never
to
resolve.
Force it. May not. It may take years.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't force it, and I wouldn't let the one that's not liking the newbie to get into newbie space and terrorize her.
Okay.
I see too many urinary issues.
So you'd leave the screen the way it is.
I'd leave the screen up.
Because I find it interesting that the terrorizing one is the one hiding behind the screen.
Mm.
You know, she has room. It's kind of comical. She'll like move over so there's a screen between us and then give us glaring. But if she moves over to where there is no screen, she's just like, oh, no, 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 no.
So
I'm tempted because right now it's been sitting out like that now for 2 or 3 days, and it's kind of unsightly. You know, I thought I either take down the screen or I put up the rest of the screen. You know, it's just kind of Velcroed across the top.
All right.
But I thought, in a sense, I feel like I should take down the screen and just let them work this out.
Well, all right. I'm going to let the doctors answer, and then we're going to move on here.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I agree with Dr. Sekulli. I'd keep them separated for now and go back and forth between them. I like to switch. If cats have their separate spaces, I do like to switch them so they have to use each other's.
Interesting.
Their litter boxes and get their smells. Exactly.
Well, thank you for that call. And let's quickly go now to Shirley in Albany. Shirley, you're on.
Hi, doctors.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a 15-year-old male cat who developed hyperthyroidism a few years ago. The vet put him on thalimazole, which is this little orange pill he gets twice a day. But ever since this started, his poop evacuations have been just awful. It's just a soupy diarrhea. And sometimes he strains so hard to get every last drip out that he turns right around and throws up his stomach.
Oh, content. Tremendous. Aww. Well, you know, we got through almost the entire show without one of these. And all right, docs, have at it. Go ahead.
I just like to know what to feed him. I want to see what kind of food would help this problem.
Oh, boy. Good. Well,
I mean, that's a tough one. I don't know if that's. Did he have this issue before hyperthyroidism diagnosis? Or was he already
not
a sensitive?
At all. He ate his regular canned food with some kibble food, and he just happily ate it and had no regular stools, urinations.
And
he was a big roly-poly cat, and now he's turned into a very skinny cat.
I wonder if he could be constipated, too. I mean, sometimes cats can be constipated, which fits more with his age and his condition. And then when they strain to defecate, they actually will pass loose stool, around the firm stool that's stuck in there. So that's something I would definitely want to rule out, is that he's not actually constipated, or he could have something else going on, which is another possibility. Yeah.
So maybe a checkup in this case.
Some sort of inflammatory process. Yep. Yeah.
All right, Shirley, thanks a lot. All right, very quickly, an email here from Garrett. I have two lovely girl cats, Alice and Stella. I've had many cats over the years, but never one like this. Two things. One, she is a very long and tall cat. Seems like her back legs are longer than her front legs at times. Looks like her back legs kind of angled towards each other. Will this be a problem in old age? I keep her at a perfect weight for fear of hip issues. Second, she chews on wood. Windowsills and chairs seem to be her favorites. Why?
Let's get back to the rawhide conversation. Yeah.
Right. Chews on wood.
I was just going to say, I'll go back to the hips being more. Yeah, she's a runner.
Right? Oh, but is that
probably,
a runner?
They probably was in her lineage more of a runner from that age. So I wouldn't worry about that at all from the hips wise.
Yeah.
I don't know about the wood.
I mean, cats are mental. I mean, the bottom line here, I've never seen my cat eat wood, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I've got one that eats plastic. He chews on shopping bags in the morning when it's time to eat. They are mental.
It's something. It's quite amazing.
I know.
All right. Well, I guess we're about done here. Jeez, we got so close to the end of the show
without
one defecation question.
Diarrhea.
And there it is. Jackpot. All right. Chris Dallas, how do people find out about Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services?
We are at www.ancientartsveterinary.com.
Okie dokie. Yes. And Dr. Susan Sekulli, how do we find out about Just Cats?
www.justcatsvet.com.
Now, do you work on dogs too? No. Okay. Well, this was fun. And you guys have had a long run on this show.
That's crazy.
So
yeah.
I think
it gets me out of the house. So that's good.
That's right.
I think Carrie O'Loughlin's on next month, but I'm sure you'll be back before you know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're hoping so.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks, Sue. Thanks for the shirt. That is so cool. I'm going
to
put it on.
I can't wait to see it.
It's so cool.
Anyway, everybody, don't forget the lockbox is open. We're trying to fill this thing so that we can get back to regular programming about cats going to the bathroom and stuff. So WAMC.org is the place. Support comes from the Glimmer Glass Festival, presenting their 50th anniversary, including the House on Mango Street, and the rink's progress, performance details, and season's calendar at glimmerglass.org. I think Chris Dallas is finally having that coughing fit. She's such a pro. She waited to the end of the show. Support also comes from Interactive Media Consulting, proudly supporting the opening of the Innovation Center, a new marker space in a makerspace, I'm sorry, in Saratoga County. Innovation Center, Saratoga.org for details. And Rivendell Dressage, Millbrook, New York, providing training for horses and riders, proud sponsor of public radio and the importance of communication, human, and equine. RivendellDressage.com. I don't get to say dressage enough. Thanks to Susan Ciculli and Chris Dallas. Thank you for listening. Zach Malloy, our engineer. Andrea Leong screened the calls. Tomorrow, it's gardening. We'll see you too.